is Nayetzi. Okay? I want to discuss the mitzvah Tuf Ayin Tes. It's the number 479, and it is the mitzvah of Tzedakah, as Asher already alluded to. It comes up in this week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu is talking about making a bris kilu with Hashem. It's the question: is it according to Rashi? It's a Tanai. According to the Ramban, it's a Neder. But he pretty much says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, if you'll be with me, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you." One of the things he says is, "Kol asher titeni, whatever you give to me, aser asreni lo, I will give myser." The das that came to me, Bali Atosos, learn out from this pasuk that Yaakov Avinu was talking about myser ksafim, a tenth. 10% of all of his money he will give to tzedakah. So you already see, maybe the Raisa level. Sorry, Ariel. We're talking about this week, the mitzvah of tzedakah. So you already see in this week's parsha, Yaakov Avinu promises to give 10% of his money, according to the Daskin Valley Tosfos, based on Esther Free, to give 10% of your money to tzedakah. And that's why I want to talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah. So the Sefer HaChinuch counts the mitzvah of giving tzedakah as a mitzvah. In fact, the mitzvah
before
this, we're doing the aseh. The mitzvah, so there's actually two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of los aseh, to not withhold giving tzedakah from an ani. There's also a mitzvah aseh. This week I want to focus more on the mitzvah aseh to give tzedakah. Beseder Gemor, as you always like to begin with, what is this shoresh of the mitzvah? What is behind this mitzvah? So the first one is something that, well, I'm going in the opposite order, but the second reason that the Sefer HaChinuch brings is a very interesting one. I didn't expect this. He says like this: why are we commanded to give tzedakah? So actually, it's really based on a Gemara, Turnus Rufus, second week in a row. Rufus asking Rabbi Kiva a question. One of the questions he asked him is, he said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the Aniyim could be not Aniyim, why wouldn't he just give them money? Why is it a mitzvah on other people to give them money? So what he answers is to absolve the Aniyim of Gehenna. The Sefer HaChinuch explains a little bit over here. He says that why do we give tzedakah? It's to atone for our sins. It's really opposite. Why do people get tzedakah from human beings? Because when you get tzedakah, not only are you getting tzedakah because you don't have enough money, that's not enough of a punishment, but it's even worse when you have to take money from somebody else. Think about how bad that feeling is, that you have to accept money. You don't have enough money. It's not bad enough they don't have enough money. You have to be like embarrassed and you have to accept that money, not from a Kadosh Baruch Hu handing it to you, but rather your friend handing it to you. It's something that is, unfortunately, it's a very, very hard thing to deal with. And essentially, though, the Sefer HaChinuch says is one of the shorish behind this mitzvah, the Nesina Tzedakah, is that the person receiving the money from another human being, it's a big kapara for him. Fine. Let's talk about that.
Did you say something about it? And also, who's the kapara for? It's for the one given, but just for the one given.
Yeah. Fine. The other shorish of the mitzvah, the other rationale behind the mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch brings,
Why is the guy that gives?
No, so the guy that gets. It's very embarrassing for him to receive it.
But what does he need to atone for? He didn't sin to
it's not what he did.
So are we saying
about a case?
What about the fact that tzaddikim have no money in this world?
What about the fact that you also have to, that you're supposed to give the tzaddikah in a way that the guy doesn't know he's getting it from you? Whatever, this is exactly. Fine. This one we're not going to talk about as much. There's more to talk about. The other reason that the Sefer HaChinuch gives for why you're supposed to get stuck is something that makes much more sense to us. It's to be margil us to do chesed, to accustom ourselves to become the type of people that are baal chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a baal chesed. Mahu racham, mafatah racham. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a baal chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Jewish people to be baal chesed. What better way than to be giving stuck? Acharei pu'ulosam and shechem al-ravos. The Sefer HaChinuch always talks about that. I don't know if we talked about that this year. This is one of the most famous things about the Sefer HaChinuch. Just going on a tangent over here. Sefer HaChinuch has this concept. He says, "Acharei pu'ulosav nimshachim alavavos," that after your actions, your heart goes. Meaning, sometimes you're not feeling a certain way, your heart follows your actions. Meaning, I'll give you an example. Even like psychologists say that sometimes if you just smile and you keep on smiling, it'll make you be in a better mood. Sefer HaChinuch always talks about that. He says sometimes even if you're not necessarily feeling something, but if you keep on doing stuff, and let's say you keep on giving tzedakah, even if you're not naturally a baal chesed, acharei pu'ulosav nimshachim alavavos, since you keep on giving tzedakah, you keep on doing acts of chesed, it will become a baal chesed. Beseder Gamur. Fine. Next thing I want to talk about is really very kosher to this week's parsha, is talking about Maaser Ksavim. One of the elements of tzedakah, very famous one, is that we know that every person is supposed to give 10% of his money to tzedakah. The question is this the raisa, is it the rabbanon, is it a minog? And the answer is the machlokes, it might be all three. So the first opinion we have is a Tosfos and Tainus and Daf Tes. He quotes a Sifri, and the Sifri says, based on the pasuk later on, it says aser ta aser es kol tevuat zarecha. This is talking about giving meiser of your grain. So the pasuk says aser ta aser es kol tevuat zarecha. The Sifri says kol erabos any. Not only grain, not only tevuah, not only dagon, but any of your profit, any money that you receive, 10% of that has to go to tzedakah. So that's a sifri, that's a drasha from the Torah. For the Tosfos, that might be a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Seder. The Taz, according to the Tzitzel, Taz is a little bit confusing, but the way the Tzitzel Eliezer Waldenberg explains the Taz says, no, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan to give a 10% of your money to tzedakah, and it's just an asmachta. This Sifri is just an asmachta. Agav, in our Sifris nowadays, you can look at a Sifri, this Sifri doesn't exist in our books. Now that could also be why, like most people say, that it's not d'oraisa. Sifri is a medrash, it's a halachic medrash. We're very familiar with midrashim that are more agadic, that are more like story based. There's also halachic midrashim that darshan the Torah, and those we darshan out, dina daraisa from them. The Gemara is based on mostly midrashim. The Gemara aren't their own drashim, it's drashim that were made by Tanaim. In midrashim,
a lot of midrashim are Avraham
as well. What? No, it's drashed. Yud gimel midos haTorah nedrashes bad. So the rabbanim were giving certain tools that were able to be darshan in the Torah. So this is one of those things. And the most prevalent, most poskim hold is true, is that giving 10% of your money to tzedakah is not the oraisa, it's not the rabbanon even, it's merely a minhag. That's most notably the Bach. The Bach holds that it's only a minhag. Fine, Beseder Gemara, we're not going to get more into this, there's a lot to talk about over here. But just important to know that whether you have Meiser Ksafim, giving 10% of your money to tzedakah, it could either be the oraisa, it could be the rabbanon, or it could only be a minhag. Fine. Next question is also not something I'm not sure if we dealt with, but whenever we're talking about mitzvos, this is always something that comes up. The Gemara Ksubis on Daf Pei Vav talks about kfiya b'mitzvos, forcing somebody to do a mitzvos aseh. The Gemara says over there, let's say somebody, it's sukkis, and he decides he doesn't want to do the mitzvah of lulav. So we say, makin oso asha teitzein asha. Take a bat and start beating the garbage out of him until he takes lulav. Right? But that's the din. I once talked to Rav Gans for a while about like why don't we do that nowadays. He gave me an answer like, what do you think is the purpose of a kfiya? What's the purpose of forcing people to do mitzvahs? So that they're religious Jews. So Rav Gans said like nowadays that approach wouldn't work. To beat somebody up to put on tefillin isn't going to make him closer to God. So that's why we don't do it nowadays. Whatever, there's what to talk about there. So there's another rule that the Gemara brings over there. I don't know if it's actually the Gemara brings. Tosos talks about it over there. There's a rule that if you have a mitzvah saseh, shematan tzvara betzida. If you have a mitzvah saseh that in the Torah delineates what star you get for that mitzvah, you're not able to force somebody to do that mitzvah. Shematan tzvara betzida. Kacha, that's the rule. Because the Torah tells you what happens if you do it, and if you don't do it, you don't get the schar. But we're not going to force you to do it. Fine. So the question is as follows. The Rambam and other Rishonim, and the Gemara as well, I mean, based on a Gemara that implies this, Rav Nassim was forced to give tzedakah. So the question is, tzedakah, it says in the Torah, one of the psukim say, the Torah says if you give tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless you and you're going to have a good life. So that's a mitzvah that the schar is written in the Torah. So why is the Rambam and other Rishonim paskinim that you're able to force somebody to give tzedakah? Alright, the schar that's already in the Torah that you get schar, the Torah tells you what the schar that you get for giving tzedakah. And we know that there's a rule that if the Torah tells you what schar you get for a certain mitzvah, you're not supposed to be forced to do that mitzvah. So Tosfos over there in Bava Basra and in Chulin also gives a few different answers. One answer, he says that they didn't really force him, they just forced him with words, so they didn't actually beat him up, they just like harassed him verbally. He gives a couple other answers. But the Minchas Chinuch, you know,
Gimel. Why can't you just open us Achi Amarotan and now Tim doing it on his own?
because let's say you don't do that.
We don't bake beat him till he actually does it. Are we saying it's Kopanachi on Rotani? What are we saying?
Rotani or low Rotani. It has nothing to do with that. That's a different thing. What? And that's why we beat him up.
Barry's still here.
Where's the schar in there? You're able to force somebody to do mitzvot aseh. You do force him to do it. I'm saying I'm explaining. If a guy doesn't want to wake up for Shabbos, he's gonna miss the Zman Kriya Shema. Why don't I go up there and just start beating him up? He says you don't do that. Exactly. Fine. I saw an answer in the Minchas Chinuch, and it's a beautiful answer. The Minchas Chinuch says as follows: it says if you look at the pesukim, it's meduyak that Minchas Chinuch owes Gimel. Says if you look at the pesukim are Duyak that the schar that you get, that Hashem's going to bless you and is going to make you prosperous, the schar that you get is not on the fact that you're giving tzedakah, but rather on the fact that you're giving tzedakah like me'ava. You're giving tzedakah on your own will, that you want to give tzedakah. The pasuk before this, the losaseh says, it says, "Ki yebicha evyon me'echer achecha ve'achat sharecha ba'artzecha asher Hashem lekecha nosim lach." There's a poor person in front of you. Lo te'ameit es levacha ve'lo tikpos es yadcha me'achicha evyon. You shouldn't hold yourself back and not give the tzedakah. The pasuk also says, "Nason titein lo ve'lo yeira levacha besitcha lo." You should give him tzedakah, and your heart shouldn't be ra in the fact that you're giving it him. It's different from the pasuk that you're supposed to give tzedakah, and you're supposed to give tzedakah besimcha. And the schar that the pasuk says that you get, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless you, is not, you're not getting schar because you're giving tzedakah. You're getting schar because you're giving tzedakah b'tuv levav. You're getting schar because you're giving tzedakah as the goodness of your heart because you want to give tzedakah. And that's why the Minchas Chinuch says that you're able to force somebody to give tzedakah because the schar that you get for giving tzedakah isn't just on the mere act of giving tzedakah, but rather on the being happy when you get tzedakah.
But if he's not feeling happy because you're forcing him, how
you can force him. Because you're not getting schar for that. In the Torah. The Torah schar isn't...
So he's not going to get schar, why are we forcing him?
He's going to get this through the mitzvah. He's not getting the schar that was written in the Torah.
If you hold that, if you force him to attach to this concept of
that's already like I'm saying it, that shot's already like the Kofen Ozoachi Omarotani is almost like a I'm not being mezalzel, but that's already like a stretch. What does that mean? He doesn't want to give it. That's, you know, Pashtus is about beating somebody up, forcing him to get stuck up. He doesn't want to give it. Fine. I also think this is it's Meduyuk in the Sefer HaChinuch himself. The Sefer HaChinuch opens up, and when he describes the mitzvah of tzedakah, he says the following: Maso tzedakah im hitzrich eila. You have to give tzedakah to a person who needs it. Besimcha uvetov leivav. Besimcha uvetov leivav. Why is the Sefer HaChinuch saying that? Why is he not just saying you're supposed to give tzedakah to the person who needs it? So I think this Minchas Chinuch was really already hinted to in the Sefer HaChinuch years before, that said that part of the mitzvah of tzedakah is doing it besimcha. Yafem el. Fine. Next thing, just some details. Question number one, how do we evaluate how much money you should give? In Hebrew, we have two words, netto or bruto.
What?
Profit or revenue. Gross or profit. Meaning, let's say I get paid $100,000 a year.
Yes.
And there's also a 35% income tax on that. So do I have to give Meister, do I have to give 10% of my full salary, the $100,000? Or do I have to give 10% off of my salary after the income tax? So the Makel opinion is even more than that. The Makel opinion says that you only have to give Meister on like things, on the money that you have in savings. Like, let's say I come home every month with $5,000, after like, just profit, after income tax, after all the business expenses, and I also spend $1,000 a week also on food and clothing, and other things. So according to the most lenient opinion, you only have to give Meiser like on the green, on the money that like you're saving. And that's the only thing you have to give Meiser on. But you can subtract from that Meister all the money that you're using on expenses for your house or anything. Rav Moshe, however, and the Shevet Halevi Rav Vosner are more strict than this. They're somewhere in between. They say like this. They say anything that's business related, any business expense, you can subtract that. You don't have to give Meister from that. So let's say income tax. So income tax is counted toward the Meister. But everything else you can. But the money that you spend on groceries, that's not going to be deducted from the money that you give for Meister. But, and another question people always ask is, how about tuition? Especially, let's say, in America or Florida in general, tuition's crazy, crazy expensive. Can you count tuition towards your Meister money? Let's say I think of $100,000 a year in Meister money. Okay? Well, tuition costs me $100,000. Am I potter now? So, I'm not paskening over here. But what I've seen, what I think I've seen is that Rav Moshe and others say that, based on the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, they say that anything that's a chov on you, I believe it's based on a maharil. Whenever you have a chov, what? Who? Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. A lot of Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Shulchan Aruch also talks a little bit about it. Whenever there's a chov for you to do something, whenever you have an obligation to do something, you can't use Meister money to do that. So I have a chov. Father has an obligation to teach his kids Torah. He has to send his kids to school to do tuition, and therefore you're not able to use the tuition as your Meister. You don't have to give it. Hey, it could be that, like, I don't know the Metzias, but it could be that a lot of people would be considered. I mean, they wouldn't be able to give Meister. They just don't have enough after tuition. You don't have enough money to give 10% of what remains to the tzedakah. So it could be that there's plenty of etera, I'm sure. But just the baseline is that if you have an obligation to do something, not able to use your Meister money to do that. Rav Moshe also has a different tshuva about how about your daughters. You're not necessarily mechuyev to teach your daughters Torah, so maybe tuition for your daughters you could use as Meister money, because that's like a tzedakah. Rav Moshe says that's not true. First of all, according to the law, you have to teach, you have to send your kids to school. You can send them to others, but he says, but you also have an obligation to make sure your daughter's from. Maybe
you also pay school tax. At least in New York, you pay school tax. You're already paying for a school. You're paying for the public schools to begin with.
Yeah. Fine. Next thing I want to talk about to finish up over here, the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Set on Daf Tes says Aser Taser. The Gemara darshens out Aser Bishvil Shetit Asher. Give tzedakah so that you become rich. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard about this, right? That when you give tzedakah, you make more money. The Gemara says over there straight out that if you give money, you get more money. The Gemara actually goes on and asks, am I allowed to test? The Gemara says, aren't you not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu except for Meister. When it comes to Meister Ksavah, when it comes to Tzedakah, you're able to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do we paskel like this? Halacha l'maisa? The Shlav says that the Das L'Shulchan Aruch is that we don't paskel like this. That Gemara was only talking about Meister when it came to your produce, your grains. But then you can test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when it comes to Meister of Stam money, of your business money, you're not allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Ramah says, bring it down Halacha. Says the Ramah says, yes, this is the only thing they're able to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could give Meister and you could hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu accountable. It says, since I'm giving Meister, you're going to have to make me rich. Again, the problem is, it could be, when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to repay you? Maybe 50 years from now. So it's hard to actually test it.
Does that mean for a smarty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't repay for national housing, he will?
What?
He said, so far, the Boston said he can't test God. So if I don't give Meister, then I can't. And if Nash Krasi gives Meister, God will pay you back.
That's not what I said. You just said I can't test God.
Right, so what does it mean?
Everybody agrees that God, no one's to deny the Gemara.
What?
What does it mean to
so if a Spidey tests,
so you hold
that
kind of
smartphone
accountable, you'd be upset.
What?
So fine. Spidey can, and Ashkenazi can be upset if Spidey can't?
Fine, just to end off with a couple points, Asher Schreier likes the cue points at the end. Again, we always have to remember, Sefer HaChinuch was written to his kid. He was writing a Sefer, it was around the time that his kid was getting bar mitzvah, and he wanted to like teach his kids and their friends before the bar mitzvahs about the mitzvahs. So he says like this, V'yatobini al tachshov she'inyin mitzvahs hatzdaka. Lo yeh rachbani asher ein lo lechem v'simcha. Don't think that the mitzvah of tzedakah is only for a poor person who doesn't have any food and who doesn't have any clothing. Ki af ba'ashirim gedolim tiskayim gam ki mitzvah tzedakah l'fomim.
Sometimes the example also
needs tzedakah. What's he talking about? Zev Rachinuch later says, the klal ha'inyan shekol ha'mahanes chavero b'im b'mamon, b'im b'mayichol o b'shar tzarachav. Now, what's included in the mitzvah tzedakah? Giving him money, giving him food, giving him anything he needs. Or even giving somebody, just saying a few nice words to somebody is b'chlal the mitzvah tzedakah, because that's what he needs at the moment. So when you put these two things together, it's a message that's especially good for yeshiva, let's say. A lot of times you say, like, wait, I'm not making any money. I can't give tzedakah. I'm not at the age where I can give tzedakah. But so doing in the Sefer HaChinuch, that tzedakah is not only by poor people, it's even by rich people. And it's not only by giving people tzedakah, but it could also be just giving anybody what they need at the moment. You see somebody who's a little bit upset, he needs a couple words of encouragement, you be mekayem the mitzvah tzedakah by saying a few nice words to them. Yisher koyach. Yisher koyach.